Since the days of the Romans, doctors and nurses have claimed direct links between physical health and psychological health, that the quality of our spirit can affect the well-being of our bodies. Until very recently, there was no scientific basis for believing in this oldest of mind-body connections. But as Frank Browning reports, the last half decade of new biochemical research has begun to show just how the body organizes our minds and our minds shape our spirits.
Before he went into the cardiac unit at Los Angeles Cedars-Sinai Hospital, Larry Springer said he'd never had a depressed day in his life.
I'm a person that is up and at 'em all the time, and I just literally could not get out of bed.
At first, he supposed that was because of the physical damage from his heart attack. But 6 months later, when his heart had stabilized, he was still deeply depressed.
I couldn't see any reason to get out of bed. I was paranoid, did not want to leave the house. Thought something horrible would happen to me, and it was just so profoundly different from my character that it was startling. And after months of just laying there in the darkness, I realized I should talk to somebody about it.
That's when his doctor put him on antidepressants, and within 6 weeks he was almost back to normal. It was the antidepressants, he says, that saved his life. Depression after heart attacks has been observed for a long time. About a third of patients suffer prolonged depression well after their hearts have recovered. The typical advice from doctors was to be patient. It takes a long time to recover from such a major illness. But that didn't make sense to the people at the Neuropsychiatric Institute at the UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles. Michael Irwin has been studying the linkages between illness, stress, and depression for more than 20 years.
During times of stress or during times of depression, there are increases in proteins that communicate with the brain. They are called cytokines, and they produce changes in the brain that make you feel sick.
You can think of cytokines as an endless flock of carrier pigeons that move back and forth between your body's immune cells and the brain, advising the brain of an injury, an infection, or even a tumor. The brain then reorganizes how your body works. It turns up your body temperature to kill off any invaders, and it directs energy away from the sort of muscle-building activities that make us feel fit. It's during this healing period that these cytokines flood our bloodstreams.
They produce feelings of tiredness, difficulty sleeping, feelings like depression.
The key question is whether depression causes the cytokines to spike upward, or it's the cytokine molecules that provoke depression.
New data begins to suggest that elevations in these molecules produce or predict depression.
Of course, there are all sorts of situations, both social and biological, that can bring on depression. But the interesting thing about cytokines, those internal carrier pigeons, is that they're critical pieces of the body's immune system. For while many of them fly off to the brain, many also send signals to your white blood cells, telling them to gear up for battle against viruses, bacteria, and other invaders. Without cytokines, our immune system would be blind, deaf, and helpless. Julie Bowers, another UCLA psychologist, has spent a lot of time studying how cytokines affect people's moods. She cites a study in which healthy people were injected with immune stimulants.
You make them a little bit sick, basically, and then you look at what goes on with cytokine levels in their blood, and you also ask them, how are you feeling? Are you depressed? Are you anxious? And you have them do some cognitive tasks. And what you see is that as the cytokines go up in the blood, they say, yeah, I am feeling a little depressed. Oh, I'm feeling kind of anxious. And they're also not quite as good at some of these cognitive tasks that we give them.
That, of course, doesn't prove that cytokines cause the anxiety and depression, only that the two happen together. But animal experiments with cytokines suggest that the linkage might be causal, Bowers says.
You inject these cytokines into the animals, and you see this whole spectrum of behavioral responses. And they have a name. We call them sickness behavior, the behaviors that people and animals do when they're sick. And if you block the effect of cytokines, the responses go away.
It's hardly news that when we're sick, we tend to be cranky, out of sorts, and downbeat. But the cytokines don't go up only in response to catching a bug. They also often go up during prolonged periods of stress. That is beginning to lead psychologists to see depression in a new light.
Maybe the immune system has something to do with depression, or at least some symptoms of depression. Maybe it's involved in other psychiatric syndromes, you know, the ones that we've never considered before.
Bauer's research has addressed the prolonged fatigue and depression that frequently affects otherwise healthy breast cancer survivors long after their recovery.
We find about 30% of women are reporting fairly significant fatigue well after recovery. And we have found that indeed they show elevated markers of cytokine activity, as well as other measures of immune activation, kind of some chronic inflammation in these women.
Bowers and her colleagues also suspect that elevated cytokine levels may play a role with other cancers, where recovered patients report tiredness, irritability, and depression. One candidate for future research is prostate cancer, where similar mood changes are widely reported. An ongoing question concerns why some survivors' cytokine levels return to normal, while about a third do not. More worrisome, those depressed survivors may also be at greater risk for other infectious diseases or cancers. When the researchers inoculated them with compounds that would normally provoke the immune system, their cytokine levels did not spike upward to send defense signals to the rest of the body. What all this means is that for many people, depression and disease may form a great circle of sickness in which each feeds the other, and that both mental and physical survival rely on breaking that psychophysical loop. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.